Grace be unto you, and mercy and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is our gospel lesson, of which we will read verse 3. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Sanctify us through your truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, the focus of Advent, by now most of us have heard at least, even if we don't remember, that the word Advent means coming. And so the focus of Advent is upon Christ's coming, first in his incarnation and birth, and then in his coming to us through the means of grace, and finally in his triumphant coming in judgment at the end of time. Now, these are all related. Only because Christ has come to us in his word and sacrament, in our baptism, in the gospel, in the Lord's Supper, can we even think about being ready for Judgment Day. You see, God himself makes us ready to receive him. So in today's text, we see that emphasis continued as the inspired writer tells us how God himself prepared the Jews, and so how God also prepares us for his coming. With his voice proclaiming repentance, declaring forgiveness, and so preparing us for his coming. Why is this so important? Well, because the natural condition of human beings is that we don't know the future. Apart from God's word, would you even know that there is a second coming of Christ? That there is a judgment day? You know, we don't know that without it being revealed to us. And we don't know God's intentions toward us either. How he wants to come to us, how he wants to connect with us, how he wants us to know him, how he wants us to be reconciled to him. Those are all of supreme importance, and we wouldn't know a bit about it if it weren't for this word of his. Now, when Jesus came, was incarnate, that means, big fancy word, but it's an important one. That means that he came into human flesh. It means he became like us, one of us. He was not only the creator of the human race, but he also became a descendant of Eve and of Adam, so that he could save all of us who are descendants of Eve and of Adam. And when he came and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, he came to the people, not those that chose to receive him, but those that God had chosen to receive him. And Luke carefully records the exact historical circumstances in which all of this happened, in which Jesus was to begin his ministry right on the heels of John's ministry. The 15th year of Tiberius, Pontius Pilate, governor, Philip, tetrarch of Etruria, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, and so forth, helps us to understand that this is God's plan for this to happen at this place and at this time. And in order that they would receive him in faith, John the Baptizer was sent to prepare the way by preparing the hearts of the people. Because, see, here's the crucial thing. When Jesus came, would he be accepted as Savior? or would he just offend people? Would he be welcomed as the promised Messiah, or would he be rejected? And how that turned out depended upon what happened in people's hearts, what happened to them spiritually. So also now, whether we will be ready so that when Christ comes again, like we talked about last week, we look up with joy, or we hide in terror, depends upon how we receive him through his word and sacrament now. And just as happened there with John the Baptist, so also now, Jesus comes to us, to any person, to bring them from spiritual death to spiritual life, from light to darkness, and he comes with what we call the word of life, the word of light. And this word of life and light actually calls us to repentance and faith. And so as we read our text, we see the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Notice that it was the word of God that came to John. Remember when you had to write term papers? And you had to do footnotes or endnotes. And if one teacher required endnotes, the other one required footnotes in a different form. Oh, we had to keep track of our sources. Remember that? The cards, and the cards that always got out of order, or they got wet and stuck together, or they fell out of your book and you left a trail of them through your adolescent life, never to be found again when you needed them. Yeah. Okay. Too much retrospection there. But why did you do all that? Because you had to keep track of whose words were being used in your term paper. And it was a no-no to use somebody else's words as though they were your words. Well, it's very important for us to understand that when on the basis of this Bible we deal with another person, or John in this case was dealing with the people of his day, he was giving them God's words, not his own. And that's so terribly important because, you know, what did Jesus say? The one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. When we deal with someone on the basis of this word here, we give them God's words. God is speaking to them through us, but still through his word. And not only do we speak the words of Christ in those circumstances, but the power of Christ remains in them. God's word is not just information. As it says in Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The word of repentance and the baptism of repentance has an effect. It shows us our sin, shows us the consequences of our sin, but more than that. You know, it's said that John preached a baptism of repentance for forgiveness. Looking at that repentance part first, in the narrow sense, repentance means contrition, sorrow over sin. But it isn't just sorrow that I got caught, or sorrow over the consequences. But true contrition is an acknowledgement that we are morally responsible to God, morally accountable to him for what we've done. Kind of like the adult Bible class today, talking about God is the potter, we are the clay, we belong to him. By our sins, we forfeit eternity with him. And because he's holy, our sins alienate us from him. Because holy means apart, separated from sin. And daily contrition is part of the Christian life. We pray, forgive us our trespasses, like Jesus taught us to, because we have sinned and fall short of the law of love. Whenever we hear the words of God's law, we hear the message behind them, this is what the Lord says. So, God's word is a chilling, frightening, scary thing in one sense. But fortunately for us, there's also much more. Fortunately for us, there's more to the message and to John's message too. He proclaimed a baptism of repentance for forgiveness. Now that word for in the Greek there, important to understand, he's preaching all of this for the purpose that you, the hearer, you, the recipient of this baptism, would receive the forgiveness of your sins. See, mere contrition, mere sorrow over sin doesn't prepare us for the coming of the Lord. mere contrition just says, he's coming, you're toast. Mere contrition can lead only to despair or pretending, oh, I'm not that bad. That's all that the law can do by itself. But fortunately, there is more to it. Mere contrition, remember how we read in our Old Testament lesson for today? Mere contrition just asks the question, who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? But the real, complete word of God brings also the word of comfort. Preparation for Christ's coming at the time of John and also now means that we're ready for eternal life. Have you ever thought of yourself as being ready for eternal life? Fit for heaven? Prepared to stand in the presence of the Holy God? Well, thanks be to God, due to the baptism for the forgiveness of sins, you are cleansed of all of your sins. And you are ready for him to come and take you home. And what are required is a change. I think you'd grant that. We're talking about a change here when someone comes to unbelief to faith. That's more than just a change of opinion or the assimilation of some new information. Isaiah talks about it this way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Sounds like they're building an interstate highway. We're talking change. And they did it without bulldozers. Nevertheless, this was the king's road with obstacles and detours removed. Yeah, the word, the power of Christ contained in his word is more than just information. The voice of the Lord brought by John and the baptism for forgiveness removed those obstacles to impenitence and unbelief that stood in the way of the coming of Christ to the Jews. Having been given forgiveness, just like you're ready for Christ to come again, they were ready. Just as you are ready to welcome Christ again with joy, they were ready to welcome him as their beloved Savior. Don't ever underestimate the impact that John had. The Jews in Jerusalem found it necessary to send delegates all the way out into the wilderness to see, what in the world is this guy teaching that so many people flock out there to hear him? He spoke up before kings. Cost him his life. Yes, his words struck home. But most importantly, he had this impact on the nation of Judah and upon individual hearts. That an impact that Jesus points out. Jesus said to the Jews, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him." And these were the very sinners that when Jesus came, they weren't offended, but they put their trust in him, in repentance and faith. Think of Matthew the tax collector as an example. These are the ones who were ready and greeted him in faith. They believed what he said in those words of John 3, the Son of God, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word that prepares us for his coming, both for its coming into our hearts, because after all, we're powerless to receive him without God's working powerfully in our hearts. It's the same word that prepares us for his coming into our hearts and also in his coming in glory. For in saving faith, believe it or not, yeah, I know you believe it, we are ready for the judgment of God. The word that of the Lord that prepares us gives us a righteousness that will stand up under the judgment of God. As it says, picking up again in Romans 1:16, but going on from there, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Only because Christ comes to us in our baptism, in his word, and in his holy supper, can we even think or talk about being ready. But he makes us ready through the gospel. And only when we understand the importance of this word of Christ in the world, preparing the way for Christ, can we have the proper perspective as to what's going on in the world. You know, we might say, as Luke gives us this picture of, you know, who's the king, who's the emperor, who's the governor, and so on, that it's somehow that Jesus gets his relevance from those historical figures. It's really the other way around. Those historical figures are remembered because they were here when Jesus came. And so it is that the history of the world, even that's happening today, is best understood by you as believers. As you look out into the world, Jesus said, remember, a sign of his coming would be that there would be wars and rumors of wars, right? And we live in an age of perpetual war. The 20th century was the bloodiest on record. And already this century seems to be an age of intractable warfare. There's a temptation to think, because of our secular education, that these wars are all about wealth and land and resources. And to a certain extent, that's true. But we need to understand also that these wars are wars for the souls of human beings. Not just a matter of East versus West, but more significantly, it's a war between an anti-Christian Chinese Communist bloc and the church. It's a war between an anti-Christian Muslim world and Christ's church. As we who await the coming of the Lord look upon the world and consider what's really important, the advance of the communist Chinese into the Pacific and now the Atlantic, is on a par with the expansion of Muslim world power, and that's on a par with the increasing secularism of the world in which we live, of our schools, of the marketplace of ideas, of our media, of our news, of our churches. You see, if we look through the eyes of people waiting for the Lord and realizing that He wants people to be ready, the most important thing is that we know our sin and our Savior. And the greatest danger isn't that somebody's going to blow up a building or that we're going to have to learn Mandarin or that our high school isn't going to win the state championship. The greatest danger is what is taught, the real danger to souls that draws people away from His voice so that they're not prepared for His coming, either in the hour of their death or when that great trumpet sounds that ushers in the glory of the Lord. But because God is gracious, you can be ready for sure, in spite of whatever happens in history and who's governor and who's president and what nation changes its name. You can be ready for sure. Because as Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples. And that's the word for those of us who desire to be ready when He comes. Abide in the word. Abide in the voice of the Lord, in His words and promises. And so be ready. You will be ready when He comes. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.